Good morning, Westview. Yeah, it's good to see you. So if we haven't met, my name is Jeff Day. I'm one of the pastors here at Westview. Here we go again. I'm here preaching the gospel, and I'm happy to be here this morning. And during my preparation for this morning, I had this in mind. I had that in mind. If someone would tell me, a few years ago, if someone told me 8 years ago or 9 years ago that I will be a youth pastor in a Vietnamese church, because I was, before to be at Westview, I was a youth pastor in a Vietnamese church for a couple of years. So if someone would tell me that I will be a youth pastor in a Vietnamese church, and after that in the English church, knowing that I'm a French speaker, I will tell that person he is crazy. I will say, you're crazy. This is impossible. It's really not something that it's not something I'm planning to do, right? So if someone will tell me that I will be in a Vietnamese church, knowing that I don't speak Vietnamese, I don't know anything about the culture, I don't know what kind of joke that make them laugh, I don't know their perspective, this is impossible. This is not in my plan, right? And being in an English church, in front of a lot of people, and also on internet, look at me, speaking for at least 30 minutes, don't know what to say, do a lot of mistake. No, this is really not something that I will do. And maybe you ask yourself why. Why is not something that you will plan to do? Let me tell you that it's not pleasant to be out of your comfort zone. I feel that nobody likes to be, you know, outside, or when you feel comfortable that everything's okay. You don't have to worry about how people look at you. You don't have to worry about how you look at yourself. So, yeah, I think that everybody likes to be comfortable. And when you're not comfortable, when there's a kind of discomfort, you ask yourself a lot of questions, become overwhelming. Maybe there's stress, anxiety, and there's tension. There's a tension in between, oh, do I stay or should I go back? Should I give up? Because there it was so good, it was warm. Right? And I think it's something that happened to everybody. We all like, it's a part of life. Sometimes we are in those situations where we feel a little bit uncomfortable, and you feel that tension of, oh, what should I do, right? Should I stay or going back? And that was me. That is me a lot of time in life. And I feel that sometimes it is the same thing also about our spiritual life as a Christian. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, I'm a Christian. Am I allowed to do this? Should I do this or not? This is how people look at me. And that was me a lot of time. A lot of time when I'm in those situations, you ask yourself what to do and if you stay or you leave. And my first year here at Westview, I was really struggling with the aspect of using my gift, being my calling, being here, serve the church, serve the Lord, and at the same time deal with the fact that I was not really comfortable with speaking in English, trying to find my word, try to make like, you know, to find my ideas, make it clear that everybody can understand. And I remember every year we got the youth have a youth retreat. And we went to Snowblast, the youth retreat. After the retreat, we take a few weeks just like off, no youth. And I went to that summit pastor, a youth summit pastor. It was at Toronto. So I drive there with my wife, my daughter, my son was not there yet. I went there with another pastor. We had a great time there. We were there to equip ourselves. They were, you know, give us a lot of, they were empowering a lot, you know, to do what we have to do, to be in our calling, to get confidence in what God put in us.
And I recall there were a time when one of the leaders said, "Hey, we want to pray for you guys. We want to pray for you as a pastor. So if you need prayer, just come in the front. Come in the front and someone will pray for you." And I recall where at this moment I was still struggling. It was maybe 6 or 5 months after that I became a youth pastor here at WSU. And I was struggling with the fact that, man, I don't think about quitting, but I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with not being comfortable to speak English. So I feel this tension and I don't know. I really doubt, am I the right person to be there? Am I the right person? I felt that I had to. So, you know, before to be at WSU, I did a few years as a youth pastor somewhere else. So I start to understand myself a little bit more. I start to, you know, to get my calling and also my gift. But to tell me, I felt that, it feels like I have to start it over. Because I have to work with those things, this tension of my gift, my calling, and not be able to be comfortable. Mais est-ce que j'arrive à me faire clair? Does people understand me? I don't know. So I went in front, and there were this guy, 6'2" tall, and I told him, this is how I felt. I felt that, you know, I'm doubting about me, about something about my identity. I'm not sure if I'm the right person. I'm not sure if I'm enough skills to do what I've been called to. So, you know what this guy told me? He told me, you know what? I'm going to come back to that story. But let me tell you that there's someone in the Bible who lived a little bit something as I live, where there was this tension in between his identity and a tension about sacrifice, his rights. How I deal with this? Oh, my right. What is my right? My right is the way my rights is things about, like, we'll say, like, sometimes something that I can claim, like a good treatment or, you know, the way that people are supposed to see me in a good way, right? My pride is something that I can claim, you know, it's one of my rights, right? So as a youth pastor, I felt that, I gave up some rights to be here, to be in my calling, but man, I don't know how to feel about myself, and I don't know how people feel about myself. And there's this guy in the Bible, Paul. If you know Paul in the Bible, Paul was this guy he was a Jewish with a Roman citizen. And at first in his life, Paul was not a Christian. He was a Jewish with a lot of zeal. And basically, his mandate or his goal was to eradicate Christianity. So for him, Christianity was a fraud. So at first, in the first part of his life, he were a part of those people who were looking for Christians, put them in prison, in jail, or kill them. Until that Jesus showed himself to him, and he gave his life to Jesus. He gave his heart. And after that, he were a disciple of Jesus. He made a lot of mission. He went to a place, to another place. And he arrived to this place. He arrived to Jerusalem. And when he arrived there were some friends of his, some of his friends. They were elders. They were people from the Christianity, of the community of the Christian. And this is what the scripture said. This is in Act 21, verse 17, and we'll read it until 20. So this is what the scripture said. When we arrive at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters receive us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles, that's mean the non-Christian, through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised they praise God. So basically, just to summarize what I just read, Paul was doing a lot of missions, right? He became a Christian and he arrived to that place at Jerusalem where there were some of his people, some other Christian. And he started to tell them, you know, I had great mission, everything went fine. God used me with power. There's a lot of people who came to him, and it was really great. And those people were, wow, this is incredible. This is nice. We celebrate with you. This is really powerful how God using you. But, brothers, sit down. We have to tell you something. Bro, we have to tell you something. It's great what Jesus, what God do through you, but there's something that we have to tell you. And, you know, it might be hard to hear about it. And basically what they said to Paul is, we heard some rumors about you. Some people feel a certain way about you. Basically, those rumors are that you start to teach some people that they can become Christian without doing some ritual. They can become Christian without following those traditions that we receive from our parents, our nos parents, nos aïeuls. This is what we heard about those people. Basically, what they're trying to say is that you don't care about our traditions. You don't care about those things. So your reputation has been tarnished, right? People feel a certain way about you. The way they see you might change a little bit. So I want to just stop there. Before I just read, I want to read the scripture. I don't have it. Oh, yeah. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jewish have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jewish who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our custom." So basically they're saying, hey man, the rumors is that you told those people that they don't have to follow the law that we receive from God. You're not respect and honor the tradition that we had. And that's really important. And I want to stop it here. So what law, which law that we're talking about? What about law? What those law are so important for us today? What is the big deal? What is the big deal? Why those people were expect Paul to follow those law? So basically, those law were basically Israel people were the people of God. They had a relationship with God, something special with them, and God gave them certain kind of way to live with Him. So God gave them we call them the moral law, the way to be the way, like, example, not killing, not lying, honor your father and your mother. And he gave other law because they were not able to respect and to live the first law that they received. And those law were tradition. They were like sacrificial ritual. They were a social law. And those law were a way to become before God in the right way. When you were doing those law, you were just before God. You were good, right? And those people accused Paul and said, hey man, we need Jesus died for us on the cross. Our sin are, you know, he took all our sin now and we good, but we still have to follow those law. We still have to honor those traditions, right? And you not respect that. And that's not good. But Paul understood a brutal truth. This brutal truth was that those laws were not an authority as before. Those law had before that Jesus came has the authority. That was the standard, right? It was like, this is how the law looked like. There were like a lot of stuff that God was asking to them. And those law was like, okay, God, here. Yeah, you asked me to put a jacket. Here, I'm putting a jacket. Who? Do I look good, God? Do I look good?
Here, God.
Here, I have my jacket. Do I look good? Am I right? Am I just now? Oh, okay. You want me to put some perfume? Okay, yes, for sure. I will put some perfume. Yeah, I'm ready for the picture. Yeah, am I good, God? Am I just? Am I right before you? Because this is what you asked me to do. You asked me to do action. You asked me to perform in a way to please you, right? Do I look good with my jacket? Do I look good, seriously? Okay. Thank you. I just want to know. But the reality is, like, Paul understood that those laws were not over them, but the freedom that they received from Jesus was over those laws. In other words, those laws were not something that were over them, but was now inner. And it was like, hey, I'm looking good with this, right? But the reality is that I'm still dirty. It's not enough. Those things were not enough. The law was not there to fulfill it. It was not there to be complete. But Jesus did, because he died on the cross. And that's what Paul understood. He understood his identity. And let me get back to my story. My story when I was at Toronto, and you know, I was in the front, you know, I was, as I said, I was, you know, asking myself a lot of questions, not wanting to quit. It's just like, you just like, man, you know, when you're in that spot, like, I don't know what to do. You know, I feel that I compromised myself. I'm not able to using myself. And I'm speaking to that guy and I explain how I feel about, you know, the way that I see myself and just the fear that I have that how people could look at me. And he took a few seconds, and you know what he said? He said, it doesn't matter because the fact that you're not skilled enough to speak English doesn't change who you are, and that matters the most. It doesn't change who you are. In other words, sometimes people can feel a type of way about yourself, and you're like, man, you start to think about yourself. Am I enough to do this? And sometimes, in the other side, you can just feel that you're not enough skill. And in both directions, the most important is not about what people think about yourself or what you're thinking about yourself. It's matter, but what really important is what God thinks about you. And Jesus, God thinks a lot of good things about himself. First, he thinks that we are his children. He said that we are love, that we are the salt and the light. He said a lot of things. And to get back to Paul, if he understood, so Paul understood, he understood that all those traditions, they didn't really matter, because he stick to what Jesus said about him. And that's the most important. So it's not how it's not about, you know, how many actions that I do. It's not about, you know, performance. So I can take it off this. It's pretty hard to do it, the mic in my hand. It's not about the jacket that I have. It's not about the perfume that I put in my eyes. It's about the identity that he gives us. And because he gives us a new identity, we are just and right before him. Jesus died for this, right? He makes us new. Jesus made us new. And that's the most important that we need to keep in mind, that Paul understood that the fact that the elders asked him to follow those sacrifice ritual or to lead those traditions was like, it's not that I don't care about those traditions, it's just that they don't have the same place as before. Because to come before God, to be right, is not about what I'm doing, but it's about my life that I give to Jesus. He living in us. And it doesn't mean I have to clarify, it doesn't mean that the law disappear. It means that the law now is written in our hearts. And that's the most important. Before it was just a bunch of things to do, but now it's because we love Jesus, because we receive him. It gives us a new heart, a new life. We're a new person. We want to follow him. So our freedom is over the action that we have to do. It's because we love him. It's because we trust him. And that's the most important thing that we need to keep in mind. I had this Thursday, I had my neighborhood group. So for those who are new here, the church have something that we call neighborhood group, whereas the church gather with different groups in the house. Some people host us. And I was sharing this week about my testimony, how I came to God, my story. And basically, I was telling them that, you know, you can't obey without trusting. Another word, you can do a lot of action, you can do a lot of performance without trusting. But the fact that Jesus gives you a new heart, it's because I love him, I can trust him. And because I trust, I obey. You need to trust, you need to love before to do it. Because otherwise, it's empty. There's no substance, right? So this is what Paul understood. So Paul was, he was able to give it up his rights. And sometimes this is what we're calling to as a Christian. Sometimes we give it up our rights. And when I say our rights, it could be a good treatment. It's something that we can claim. We give it up this in the purpose of winning people. And this is what Paul did. Paul said, okay, it doesn't matter. What I'm going to do is just, I'm going to follow those rules. I'm going to follow those traditions. And it doesn't really matter because I know that those things doesn't save me. It's the fact that Jesus already gave me my identity. That's enough. That's enough. And this is what I have to stick this in it. I don't have to, but I can because I'm free. So Paul decided to be the peacekeeper. And he gave it up on his right. And this is what Paul said. This is what Paul said. Just to summarize what I said. Though, this is in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 23. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jewish, I became like a Jewish to win the Jewish. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, faith. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. So it is a reality to be in moment in our life where we, you know, we're in those situations where we might give it up a little bit proud. This is me. Give it up my pride about being comfortable speaking French and, you know, be proud about me using my skills. But Jesus, Paul said that, hey, this is our calling. And I want to say this because Paul was a missionary. And when we hear missionary, it sounds like really like, oh, serious, like, oh, it is, you know. And sometimes we have this view of like going overseas to another country somewhere. But we all are called to be missionary. I will say more. We are all called to be disciples, as Paul. Everywhere that we go, someone was lighting this in my neighborhood group. He said, you know, Jeff, I was sharing about the fact that I was, how I became a Christian or how I became a pastor. And I said, you know, God, like, you know, guide me to become a pastor, to be in ministry full time. And he said, Jeff, I had the same plan also. I had this plan to become also a full-time youth pastor of youth in the ministry, not youth pastor, but to be in the ministry full-time until something come out in my work. There was someone in my work who were really virulent. I don't know what is the word. It was really against Christianity. It was really against, you know, people who believe. And at that moment, I understood that I was in ministry. I was in mission. Because everywhere that you go with the gospel. You got the chance, the opportunity to share the love of Jesus. And there's a lot of time that you will be, there's a lot of chance that you will be, if it's not already happened, in those situations when you will have maybe to sacrifice some of your rights, but for the purpose of the gospel and win those people. And this is exactly what Paul did. He did, okay, doesn't matter, I will do it. I will do it for the purpose of the gospel. I will do it. So I didn't read the scripture, but let me read it. What happened when the elders shared to Paul about, you know, the rumors and how he should behave. They said, what shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. I mean, people who made rumors. So do what we tell you. Okay, Paul, we're gonna ask you something to do. Do it, and if you do it, everything's gonna be fine. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take this man, join in the purification rites, and pay the expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. That's what the ritual. Then everyone will know there is no truth in the reports about you, but that yourself are living in obedience to the law. Paul just understood that, you know, sometimes we following Jesus mean giving up our right to be right so we can show others the love of God. And you know what? Something that can happen sometime in life, even that we're giving up our right, we say, okay, I'm going to make that sacrifice. I will come in that situation that I'm not necessarily comfortable. But I know it doesn't change who I am, because who I am is who God said I am, right? So it doesn't matter what people think about me. Well, I'm going to do it. And sometimes even that we're giving up our rights, sometimes he doesn't hand the way that we will expect, right? Sometimes when we do everything right, we can still suffer, right? We can still suffer. And that's the story, this story. So basically, I'm not going to read the rest, but Paul basically did this tradition, this ritual. And at the end of this ritual, Paul was showing the other people that, you know, I'm following this tradition. I don't have any problem with that. And there were some Christians from Asia. Some Christian from Asia was there. And they saw Paul and they said, hey, that's the guy. That's the guy that we heard about. This is the guy who make trouble. This is the guy who don't have any respect about the law that we're supposed to follow. This is the guy who say a lot of things, who trashes. Hey, let's put our hands on him. Let's beat him up. Let's kill him. And this is exactly what happened. basically Paul said, okay, I'm going to follow this tradition. I'm giving up my rights. And they say, see, okay, it doesn't matter. So normally it should be, you know, everything should be smooth, okay, no fight, nothing. But instead, it didn't finish the way you want at that moment. And the text tells us that they took Paul, they beat him up, they were ready to kill him. That's not really funny. And the soldiers, the Roman soldiers came, and they tried to understood, you know, they tried to understand, hey, what's going on? Why there's a fight? Why are you beating this guy? What happening? What he did? And Paul tried to say, what happened? But those people were not able to hear him because the crowd was making a lot of noise. But further, and this is what Charlie is going to preach next week, we'll see that Paul was able to speak for himself. But what I'm trying to say, it's like, I know that sometimes it is uncomfortable and nobody want to be in that spot where he have to feel that tension, to be uncomfortable, you know, and it's not cool, but this is sometimes what we're called for the purpose of the gospel and bring people in the front of the cross. So, you know, and this is something really important. This is the challenge. It's a challenge to do this. It's a challenge to live that kind of life. But hear this gospel. The gospel is that Jesus did it for us. Jesus humbled himself. He came here. He humbled himself to be a man in the middle of us. He died on the cross. He sacrificed himself. He was humiliated. He lost dignity. Last week, I was with my youth, and we were talking about how Jesus has been beaten before he was on the cross. And they were saying, hey, this is actually a miracle, the fact that he was still alive after the beating. His dignity has been crushed. Jesus did all of this for us. But at the same time, even that Jesus has been humiliated, his dignity has been touched, he has been exalted by his Father. He has been exalted by the Father, and Jesus wants also to elevate us, right? So this is what Philippians 2, verse 5, 11 to say about what Jesus did. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in every nature. God did not consider equality with God as... In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in every nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the apparent as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalting him in the highest place and giving him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we all Paul at some point navigating that messy middle ground of identity, pressure, and mission. But guess what? Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He humbled himself. He sacrificed himself. He has been humiliated. And his identity was crushed. And sometime with those 14, it's those 14 deal with how we relate to ourselves and to others in situation of vulnerability, of power. But we have to keep in mind that, and I know that that's all involved, laying down or lost ourselves, or for the sake of something greater, of beyond ourselves. There's something greater when we sacrifice our rights. It's to make the gospel shine. It's to make Jesus shine. I know that they all live in the tension between honor and shame, but Jesus embodied them all. And that's the gospel. And God wanna also exalt us. He wants to elevate us. Luke 14, verse 11. For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let me pray. God, thank you for the fact that you give me 34 minutes to speak, God. Not in my power, but in yours. And even that sometimes it can feel messy, God, I know that all that's for the purpose of your kingdom. And share your love, share hope, share your gospel. Share that you want a relationship with everyone who believes in you. Thank you for the new identity that you give us and the fact that we have to stick on it and not look on right and left. It doesn't matter, God. Thank you for the fact that we want to trust you and obey you, God. And I pray for someone who hearing this morning that will want to do this leap of faith and give your life, their life to you, God. I pray everything in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff Day.
Yeah.
Yep. If you got kids, you can go get them at this time. Usually they throw something on the screen around then, telling you the same thing. Jeff Day, when you were talking, I remember that both of us did something similar in the sense of I remember when. I was in Wisconsin, and I saw this job posting for, you know, a fairly large church in Montreal, and I remember sending them a CV and a resume, and I remember I wasn't really looking for another job, but there was something about the posting that caught my eye, and I remember intentionally sending a resume that was not professional. And I was like, in the resume, I remember I said, you know, what do you do? It's like, preaching, counseling, and everything else a pastor does. Like, I wasn't trying to be professional because I knew right away, if professional is what you want, that's not me. Jeff Day, je me souviens quand j'ai mis une posting de travail pour pasteur de ado et tu m'envoyais une CV. Le posting de travail était en anglais, mais tu m'envoyais un CV et résumé en français.
Wait. They were asking, what is your vision of, you know, of the ministry? And I didn't respond to that. I was like, oh, I just sent my CV. They know it's French, but they will not call me. So just, you know.
Same thing. It was a test. It was a test for us. It was like, okay, French is my main thing. And if that gets this resume dismissed, then yeah. There we are. And basically both of us were like, when we came here, we're like, hey, this is who I am. I'm not going to. Not going to wear the cool jacket, just going to show who you are. And, you know, it's really cool because as a church, that's actually what we want. We value, like, you can be who you are. You don't have to put a jacket on. You don't have to pretend to be more professional. Or you did actually preach in English. I actually thank you for that because that's, you know, my French is only so good. But it's something we value is just being actually who you are. But I do want to ask you one thing about the sermon you preach.
Yeah.
So you made it really clear that we're free. We are free. We don't have to follow the Old Testament traditions. Paul didn't have to follow the cultures and the traditions that were important to people. And so he comes to town, and people are talking bad about him, okay? People are talking smack, okay? And they're saying, he doesn't care about this. He doesn't care about that. And I don't know how you feel when you hear people are talking bad about you, but I know that the natural reaction is to kind of push back a little, right? I mean, that's what we do. And so why didn't Paul say, this is my question, Paul didn't have to follow those rules. So when they're talking bad about him, Why didn't he say, that's right, I don't follow those rules, I don't have to? Why didn't he just flaunt it right in front of them? Instead, the people that were talking bad about him, he did what they wanted right in front of them. Why did he do that? How did he do that?
Yeah. I would say that Paul just understood that those traditions had no power to make him, no power to make him just before God. But at the same time, the main goal, the purpose of, I'm not going to say anything and just for it, was to win their heart, to make them understand the love of Jesus, to make them understand that the identity that they received from Jesus was enough.
So even though they were talking bad about him, even though they looked down on him and they were judging him and treating him bad, even though he still loved them and he didn't declare the rights that he had, he served them.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't push back. He just stay as a servant. He did exactly what Jesus would do.
So, and that's, it was Jesus living in him.
Exactly.
Father God, let that be true for us also, Lord. Live in us when we feel offended, when we feel that our rights are being trampled on, Lord. Let us respond, Jesus, the way that you did. Let us respond by being even more of a servant, Lord. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of showing who you are, Lord. Let us first know that we are free. Let us first know that we are loved. Let us first know that you love us as we are. And out of that freedom, Lord, help us lay down our lives like you did, Lord. And let us hold to that truth that you exalt the humble, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us. And I just pray that as we lean on you and as we rest in you, you would live in us more and more, Lord. And the love that you have for the world would live on us through faith, in humility, and the world would see you, Jesus, in us. That's our prayer. In your name, Jesus, amen.